Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, friends? Before we hop into, boy, a disappointing show, gotta tell you about a mattress that is certainly not disappointing. The Snooze Sleep, and I'm talking about their Snooze Flip mattress. And what the Snooze Flip mattress is, it's a revolutionary mattress. It's really a four-in-one mattress, because what they did is one side of the mattress is hard, the other side of the mattress is soft. So you can flip it over if you want it soft, flip it over if you want it hard. And then they also put this sleep cover on it. One side is hot, the other side is cold. So if you're a cold sleeper and you want the bed to be hot, well, put it on the hot side. If you're a hot sleeper and you want it to be cold, put it on the cold side, and there you go. You can flip it in and out depending on the seasons, depending on who else is in your bed with you, and also flip it to match it. If you like hard and cold, well, boom, there you go. You can have that. If you want soft and hot, you can have that as well. And here's what you do to get one of these. Go to snoozesleep.com, and they are hooking you up. If you use the code DNVR, you'll receive $250 off a mattress and $250 off an adjustable base for a queen and for a king. They're hooking it up even more. A dual split king saves $1,000 with the adjustable base. $1,000 by going to snoozesleep.com and using that code DNVR. All right, Ryan, let's hop into the show.
Number one for the one and only DNVR. Coupled with Breck, brew and a friend, bleed orange and blue to the bitter end. Come and join us, DDNVR. We are DNVR.
And welcome in to the DNVR Broncos Losers Lounge.
Boo honk.
Yeah, boo honk for sure. A lot to get into here. And what I just tweeted out was an absolute shit show for the Denver Broncos. I don't know if there's any better way to put it.
That's kind of nice, I would say.
Yeah, that is a nice way of putting it. Of course, we're presented by MSU Denver. Check out msudenver.edu/online to scope out all they have to offer. And they have a lot to offer, so make sure you check them out. The Broncos did not have a lot to offer today.
They went to school. They got schooled today, Ryan.
They got schooled today, but Zach, this is exactly what I was talking about throughout the week, how football is such a game of momentum swings and game plans and big plays and big moments. And while the final score is embarrassing, that's an embarrassment from the Denver Broncos. To me, it actually comes down to a couple plays. And in a lot of football games, you can't put the loss on the shoulders of one person. And this one is no different. You can't put the loss on the shoulders of one person, but Melvin Gordon fumbling that ball is the reason why the Broncos were embarrassed today.
What about the rest of that play, Ryan?
And exactly. And
that could have stopped the bleeding. That could have kept it a game. But I'm not trying to take away from that fumble is inexcusable.
We can uncover the layers here. But if the ball doesn't get fumbled, the Broncos at the very least are down four. Now, if Teddy Bridgewater is willing to make a play for his team and be a football player, not a quarterback, a football player, which you should be expected to be when you step on a football field, then maybe the Broncos don't give up a touchdown on that play, and they have a chance to trust their defense, which was playing admirably, was playing acceptably up to that point.
You're being too nice to everyone. And
I don't think I am, but let me just finish.
Are.
If they make that play, you have a chance. If Teddy Bridgewater, honestly, you don't even need to make the tackle, bro. Just get in the way. Don't olay him like he's a bull and you've got a red velvet cape. Just lets him go by. But Melvin Gordon, man, you cannot fumble that ball. It can't happen. And you can go higher than that. Why is Melvin Gordon carrying that ball? You have the single best tackle breaker in the NFL in Javonte Williams on your sidelines. Give the ball to him.
Javonte's fumbled too, though.
Once? Yes, he has.
Twice. He should have got charged with the fumble last. I mean, he fumbled the ball. The coaches
said
he fumbled the ball.
But he was down.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't.
Wait, which one?
It was a fumble. Two plays before Melvin fumbled against Washington.
Oh, but they recovered it? Is that what it was? Okay.
Yep. And inexcusable from Melvin, Ryan. You can't fumble it. He said after the game he should have had two hands on it. Of course you should have had two hands on it. It's fourth and one. You're fighting for extra yards. You have to have two hands on it. And, Ryan, to me, why I said you're being too nice on everyone else, and I think that same upsetness that you are with Melvin should go to the rest of the team. It looked like the team was going in slow motion outside of a couple of guys on that fumble recovery. And Darius Slay going full speed. You know what he said after the game, which was just a big F you to the Denver Broncos? He was asked, when did you think you were going to score a touchdown? And he said, they just had a bunch of fat guys out there.
Wow.
Are you kidding? No, they didn't. But do you know what that shows? Just how slow the rest of the offense was playing on that play.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of fat guys is what he thought it was. No, there were wide receivers. There were tight ends. There were running backs. And your quarterback, not a fat guy, right there. Teddy Bridgewater, like you said, doesn't. I understand if he doesn't want to go head first or shoulder first, slide.
No, just move your body in front of him.
Do that or slide, Ryan. Get a tripping tackle. Get a 15-yard penalty. Do anything. After the game, Teddy Bridgewater said what happened was he tried to move the guy or he tried to force him inside. You know how you force him inside, Ryan?
Touch him.
You just get in the way.
Touch him in any way.
You don't do a step back. It's inexcusable. That whole play is inexcusable. And then what happens right after that? The Broncos, now it pretty much felt like the game was over at that point. Down two scores, understandably. But then you know how the offense responds with still in the third quarter, Ryan. You know how they respond? Down 14. They come out and they go three plays, minus 4 yards. Are you freaking kidding me?
And then you punt it.
Right, exactly. What are you playing for? Are you playing for a close game? Or are you playing to win the game? Vic was playing to just not have it be embarrassing. And you know what? It was absolutely embarrassing. I hated the effort in the second half. The defense was they did their thing in terms of the break, don't bend. They in the first half, they gave up over 250 yards. That's disgusting. On pace for 500 yards from this Eagles offense. That isn't good. And in the fourth quarter, to me, I'm so disappointed because it just seems like the heart ran out of this team.
And it's the biggest concern from last week was, what was it fraudulent? Of course it was. That was fraudulent. They are who we thought they were.
Yeah.
They are who they thought who we thought they were.
Yeah.
They are a very, very average football team at best.
And their record reflects that exactly.
They have a below average coaching staff. Looking at you, Tom McMahon. Another one. They and you, Vic Fangio. And Mike Shula, I'm not going to come after you because you had like 2 days to be ready for this. But this team is who we thought they were. They're not that good.
You're being too nice again.
Teddy Bridgewater, nice. I'm going to start calling him Business Decision Bridgewater. Because not only did he make a business decision there, Zach, but on fourth down in the red zone, he made a business decision. What are you doing? You're trying to not throw a pick? You're afraid of throwing a pick on fourth down in the red zone?
I have an issue with someone else on that play, and I got a lot of heat on this for Twitter, and so I'm sure I'm going to get nailed for this. I don't think it was a business decision by Teddy. I think it was just a terrible throw, which is what it was. It was a bad throw. Ryan, it wasn't 10 feet above Tim Patrick's head. It was probably like 5 feet above, which is not catchable. Tim didn't even try. I want to see you put your hands up at least and then jump. At least that's what I'm talking about, just the heart, not just on Tim, but this entire team. And people get killed me because, Ryan, the pass was not good. It was a terrible pass. But just what are we doing here? What are we doing?
I mean, I understand why you got killed for this.
Jump!
I know. But what? Jump for the optics?
To me, when I saw it, and I watched the replay a ton because I knew I was going to get killed for it, it wasn't that high. He probably could have touched it. And sure, not caught it. But again, that's just a small thing to me. I think that really just summed up what the fourth quarter was in my mind.
What, I mean, how does that happen? Like, how does it happen for a football team to just fold like that at home?
When you're 5-4 going into a bye week at home, Ryan, we talked about this week. And just like you said, we talked about how this could be a huge game for the Broncos to either step up to the plate and ride all of this momentum and show that they're the truth, or for them to fold. And we said that during this game, that the Broncos have everything going their way not to fold. And they fold.
They folded.
They folded.
And what's funny is they now they sit there at 5-5 going into the bye week. They're still alive.
Yep.
They get to play the lowly Chargers, who lose to everyone they shouldn't to. They shouldn't lose to.
Yep.
And they could be 6-5. But how many times, you know, there's the old phrase, right? When someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time.
Right.
We should believe them.
Yeah.
We know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're not a real football team. And it's a little bit of Teddy. And it's a little bit of the offensive play calling, and it's a little bit of Vic Fangio, and it's a little bit of heart or lack thereof from the entire football team. And they just don't have it. They simply don't have it.
Nope.
And it's so obvious to see, especially when you're there in person.
Yeah.
You know, I was in the stands today watching from there, and it's just like, so clear to see that they're playing joyless football.
Yep, exactly. And I really saw that, Ryan, on that fumble from Melvin Gordon, and just the heart seemed to be gone from the whole team. And what do we say, Ryan? The team takes on the identity of the head coach or the quarterback. Well, unfortunately, I've given Teddy Bridgewater every benefit of the doubt throughout training camp since they signed him this whole season. If that's who Teddy Bridgewater is, then the Broncos are F.
Soft.
F. Yeah, soft. And you know what? Vic Fangio last week, for the first time, we saw the fired up coach that the Broncos need. If they can take on that personality that Vic was last week, you know what? They can take on Vic's personality and be a damn good football team. But then he reverted right back to where he was. Punting, like you said, when you absolutely have to have a score, you punt. You play for the close game instead of the win. And that's what the Broncos are right now. And the Broncos adopted both Teddy Bridgewater and Vic Fangio in the fourth quarter. And that is so scary. And it's also frustrating because the season is still alive, Ryan. Three AFC West teams are going to lose today. The Chargers lost, the Broncos lost, and either the Raiders or the Chiefs are going to lose today. You had everything right there, and Draymond Jones after the game was very straightforward about it. Said it was just a huge opportunity missed. The Broncos absolutely dropped the ball. And what stinks, too, for Broncos fans is now this is the last taste in their mouth. That Cowboys game and 2 weeks from now, next week when the Broncos and Broncos fans are watching football, this is what they remember about the Broncos. The 5-5 Broncos that are a one-game losing streak that played with no heart, especially at the end of the game. That's who the Broncos are for the next 2 weeks. And maybe it just continues to go down that path.
And we can't tell anyone anything differently. In fact, that play from, like, in the moment, I'm more mad at Melvin Gordon. And honestly, until like 2 minutes ago, I'm more mad at Melvin Gordon because, dude, you cannot fumble the ball.
No.
It can't happen. But now I keep thinking about what you said Teddy Bridgewater said after the game. He's trying to force him back inside. Try not to curse. Give me an effing break, dude.
Yeah.
Make a play. It's not as if you are outside, like you're like way outside and you're like, oh, I ran in to try and force him inside. No, dude, he walked by you.
Yeah. You gave a head juke.
You did not put an arm out.
No, he knew what to do because he gave the juke. It would have been better for him to fall over, 10 yards before and just say you tripped. And then you know what? No one's coming after you. It's still soft as hell, but at least it's not so obvious.
Dude, literally dive and like protect yourself
in front of him.
Anything other than what you did, man. You are supposed to be the leader of this football team.
Yep.
And they are going to see that film. Yep. That film isn't going to be secretly filed away.
Nope.
That film is going to be seen. And you know what? These guys read Twitter. So even if it doesn't get shown in the film room, those guys are going to see what their quarterback, their leader, did. And you know what? There's the old, like, when you screw up, pick up your teammate. Melvin Gordon screwed up. No one was there for him. Absolutely no one was there for him to say, hey, let me help out. Let me try to make a play and give the defense, who, again, gave up a lot of big plays in this game. But at least in that moment, if they would have made that stop, I would have said they can hold for a field goal here.
Yep, I agree.
And no one picked him up, and it starts with Teddy Bridgewater. And again, you know, we've roasted and roasted and roasted and roasted Cam Newton for the business decision he made in the Super Bowl. Now, again, that's the Super Bowl. Stakes are a lot higher.
Yep.
But we can't, as people who have given him hell for that, cannot act as if Teddy Bridgewater didn't do probably a worse offense in this game in a vacuum. Again, not the Super Bowl. Things are a little different. But in terms of actively deciding, I'm not going to do anything about this, unacceptable top to bottom. And the fact that he made an excuse about it after the game pisses me off even more.
On the same day, Cam Newton has two touchdowns, too. How about that? I mean, just the way that came full circle. You're 100% right, Ryan. There's no excuse for Teddy Bridgewater, and you had so many people calling for Drew Lock after that. Understandably so. Drew's not even in the building. He's not even in
talk
the
about
stadium. So
being irresponsible and not being there for your teammates.
Exactly. So, and that's where this team is, on and off the field, and especially displayed at home in front of these fans. And Ryan, let me just talk about what an absolute disappointment, not from the fans, but from how the fans are reacting. I'm not putting this on the fans, but just what did we say last week? And when the Broncos beat the Giants, and at the end of the game, there's so many Broncos fans in the stadium cheering Broncos chants, and everyone's saying, man, how soft are those Giants? How embarrassing is that for
the Cowboys,
for New York? And then last week against the Cowboys, happened both times, Broncos fans, the only ones there cheering. It's Broncos, or the Broncos are America's team now. What happened today? Broncos fans cleared out. I don't blame them. But when you clear out, the Eagles fans aren't clearing out. And when I left the stadium, I could still hear Eagles chants, Ryan. After the game, the Eagles chants are still going on. So as embarrassing and cool as it was for the Broncos to be doing that last week, that's what just happened at home. And that's the taste in your mouth the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, Eagles fans get a bad rap. I had nothing but good experiences with Eagle fans today.
I think it's because they're good fans.
Yeah,
for the most part, they have some quirks to them that they'll always get killed for.
There was one guy who was looking for smoke, and honestly, Broncos fans don't have enough in them to give him any smoke.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No one wanted to fight with this guy. Like,
good, I'm happy.
There was no fight left in Broncos fans, just like there was no fight left in the football team.
Yeah.
But in general, there's a lot of Broncos fans, a lot of Eagles fans around me. Everyone had a good time, you know, a little friendly banter throughout the game.
Yeah.
The way it should be. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I was sitting on the Eagles bench side of the stadium where obviously Eagles fans are going to want to sit. And by the end of the game, it was mostly just them.
Yep.
And the same thing, you're right, same embarrassment that you believe the Cowboys should feel, Broncos should feel that today. And it's a really, really big shame that they could not do what should have been an easy task.
Yep.
And again, we knew going into this game it wasn't going to be an easy task. But if you can't come out with a game plan for Jalen Hurts, if you can't come out with a game plan for Devontae Smith, and if you can't find a way to beat that defense, which Fletcher Cox and a bunch of no-names, then you deserve to lose, and they did, and they are who we thought they were.
Yep, they are who we thought they were. And we're watching the Chiefs and Chiefs and the Raiders play right now. And the Broncos are still going to be in this, Ryan, but right now they're the only team in the AFC West that doesn't have a winning record. They're at the bottom of the AFC West, and if the Chiefs win, they will be at the very bottom of the AFC West with no one else with them. And I know what Broncos fans are going to be thinking the next 2 weeks is, we're done. There's no coming back from this. They were 3-0, now 5-5, and everything's just going downhill. And people want serious change. Serious change isn't coming.
It's not coming.
Because the Broncos are 5-5. George Payton wants to give Vic Fangio every benefit of the doubt. Teddy Bridgewater, despite that terrible play and terrible effort throughout the rest of the game, he's not going anywhere. Drew Lock wasn't even at the game, like you said, about some decisions. And Teddy Bridgewater and Vic Fangio are your quarterback head coach in 2 weeks.
Of course. And Pat Shurmur is going to be the offensive coordinator. Especially because his replacement, his possible replacement, was worse than him today.
And what have we been warning people about? We've been warning people about this. And what was it? It was Pat Shurmur 2.0. Maybe Pat Shurmur 2.2. Because last week, Pat Shurmur ran the ball. And Broncos get down, and they kind of stuck to it. And then they just abandon it. But I think we're going to get into a deeper conversation about that.
All right, sounds good. I want to get into a deeper conversation about Breckenridge Brewery, the absolute best beers. We had our best tailgate of the year today. Shout out to everyone who came and had belief in this team and hope and had a great time at the tailgate today. Our biggest tailgate so far. Everyone had a great time from what I could see. And, of course, the Breckenridge Brews were flowing all the time. Yeah. So make sure you become a member. Make sure you get in on some of those delicious Breckenridge brews. And again, shout out to them for not only creating the best beers, but for hooking us up and helping supply the tailgate.
And make sure to get in on these delicious interest rates we've got going on by giving our friends Michael and Virginia Chevalier over at Chevalier Mortgage a call. You can call Virginia directly at 303-257-6578 or visit them at dnvrmortgage.com. And when you go to dnvrmortgage.com, you get entered to win some DNVR swag. So you absolutely should check them out. But on top of that, and even more importantly, you get in a free consultation with them. That's free. Meet whether you want to buy a home and get in with them, or whether you want to refinance, check out everything they have to offer over at dnvrmortgage.com. Get your foot in the door there. And they look at more than just the interest rate, because Michael Chevalier is a certified financial planner, meaning he looks at your entire financial picture, which is exactly what you need when you're buying a home. So check him out at dnvrmortgage.com. Michael Chevalier, NMLS 1913100 6, Virginia Chevalier, NMLS 1910631.
All right, Zach, let's move on here and play the blame game. And so let's go through a couple things, and I want to know who you blame most for this. Denver Broncos, 13 points. Who do you blame most?
Boy, Teddy. You got to look at the quarterback or the offensive coordinator, and I do want to look at the offensive coordinator, but in this one, when your offensive coordinator has 2 games to prepare for a game, you got to look at the quarterback.
Two days.
Teddy Bridgewater just absolutely did not do it. In the end, the stats still aren't very good. 61% completion, 226 yards, 0 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 79 passer rating. But there was never really a spark. In fact, the one spark we saw from this offense in the passing attack was when Albert O made a play. And he did that. And so we got to give a shout out to our king of the game, Albert Okwuegbunam. Ryan, not many bright spots here, but I would say Albert O really showed up, and he had that one big play, 64 yards, the only spark in the Broncos passing attack. He went 3 for 3, 3 targets, 3 catches, 77 yards, led the Broncos in all of those categories.
Oh, you're talking about the best tight end on the team?
I think I am.
Yeah. Albert Okwuegbunam, best tight end on the team, a dude who makes plays. Which is not something you can say about any other tight end on the team.
No, it's not. But even then, to get back to my point about Teddy, Ryan, is that was the explosive play, and what, it was a 10-yard pass that Albert O just exploded off of.
And it ended in a field goal, right?
Yeah.
It is so crazy.
A blocked field goal, right?
I think you're right. It is so crazy how good teams, it doesn't matter if they get tackled on the 5-yard line.
Right.
And bad teams, it does matter a lot.
Yep.
And I've never seen a field goal get blocked from that close.
Yeah.
And there's something new every week from Tom McMahon's unit.
It really is.
But it matters a lot. Like, I thought to myself in that moment, as soon as he got tackled, this will end on a field goal. Did not know there was a fresh hell waiting around the corner for me.
2 drives back-to-back. because you thought the blocked field goal was bad. Melvin Gordon said, "Hey, hold my football." And Teddy Bridgewater said, "I'll let you keep your football, too."
We'll let Darius Slay keep the football, yeah. Which I'm sure he did. Probably the longest touchdown of his career.
There's a lot of fat men running around.
It did. It honestly looked like a field goal return.
Yep. Yep. No, it was your offense. Darius Slay probably thought it was just a bunch of fat guys.
He just like slowly weaved through.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going left. He's going right. Then he's going left again. Then he has a cup of coffee. Then he takes off upfield.
Not even a single person chasing him.
Nope.
No one like there at the 5 yard line.
No. And that's when the heart went out of the body.
You've seen the guy on TikTok who does the film reviews?
No.
He does film reviews like pretending to be a coach.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I'm not an athlete. I'll just piss down my leg. I'm not going to chase him. I'm too good for that. Business decision here.
This will be one.
That's it'll probably be on there tomorrow.
Yeah.
Just embarrassing.
Yeah. It really is. So Teddy gets it from me. Also, I mean, the offensive play calling, not good. Pat Shurmur, Broncos are down 10-0. They stick with the run a tiny bit. Ryan at half. Oh, geez. At halftime, I think the Broncos had 15 carries. They finished with 18. Now, let me just confirm that right now because I'm just realizing that. But even at halftime, Ryan, I'm pretty sure they were averaging okay, no, that wasn't true. Never mind. At halftime, they had 8 carries. They finished with 18.
Oh, okay. Not as bad.
9 carries. Finished with 18. So half and half.
I mean, 18 carries is not going to get it done, but when you're down 30-13, you're not going to carry the ball that much. Also, again, talking about little things that affect football games that take it from close football game to embarrassment, the holding on the edge. Who had that holding? Do you know?
Saubert. That took the Javonte touchdown back?
Yep.
And then what happens the very next play? Albert O is called for a false start. Ryan, unfortunately,
at least we have the Nuggets.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what the cheering is going on here. No one's cheering for the Raiders or the Chiefs, I can guarantee you that. Although the Chiefs, Raiders, I believe, just did tie it up. But Ryan, the Broncos must lead the league in tight end penalties.
Mm.
How do you have tight end penalties lead the league?
I don't know, Zach. I don't know how a lot of these things happen. How does your quarterback watch a guy run by him?
There's MVP chance going on here at the bar. I guarantee it's not for Teddy.
It's not for Teddy. and it's not for anyone on the Broncos because they just laid down and died.
Yep.
They just laid down and died. All right, back to the blame game. That return touchdown, who gets the most blame?
I mean, like you said, it doesn't happen if it isn't for the fumble. So you got to look for that one where it starts. And that's with Melvin. He said it after. I should have been holding on with two hands. I don't know if you need to go to Curtis Modkins and put a little blame on him. I mean, I would think a running back should know. But
a veteran getting paid $8 million a year.
I don't know how that message doesn't get passed along, how he doesn't think that's you can't have it. You absolutely can't have it.
You had a better view of the replay. From where I was sitting, it looked like he had the first down before he fumbled it.
Yep, he did.
So what is he doing, man? Cover the ball, you got – the hole was there.
Yep.
Hit the hole with both – I just hit myself in the face. hit the hole with both hands on the ball and just fall down.
Well, Ryan, what doesn't make sense is if he was holding the ball with two hands, the ball would have crossed the first down marker at the exact same point. It's not like he was reaching out with one hand and then it got knocked away. No. It wasn't like that. It was in his arm. Should have been two hands the whole time.
Yeah, it has to be Melvin. Now, if the question is whose fault is it that it was a touchdown? Then it's definitely Teddy.
Yep, there's no question
about it. But it sucks that this type of stuff comes up at the worst times. Melvin Gordon has had good ball security in a small sample for, 10 to 12 games?
About the past 16 games.
Yep.
Half of last year. Well, no, I'm including the beginning of this year. And obviously.
Right. And now it's kind of gone to shit.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
in that moment, it's so, like, as a coach, you just have to be banging your head against the wall that this guy can't protect the ball in big moments. And it's just so frustrating. But.
And now to your point, Ryan. You got to put Javonte in on those short yardage things because now the past three games, you've had two crucial fumbles in short yardage, must hold on to the ball situations, And just before that, about a quarter before, Ryan, I was advocating that just as good as Javonte Williams is, Melvin Gordon's got to be the one that's in the game in the red zone because he just has a knack for the end zone. It's something this year. When he's in the game in the red zone, he scores. When Javonte's in, and again, not all on Javonte at all.
Banging into people.
It just doesn't work out.
Yeah.
But if you can't hold on to the ball in the red zone and you're turning the ball over, then it doesn't matter. So I can't make that argument again, and I'm not going to make that argument moving forward because it's either end zone or fumble or maybe end zone and field goal, just don't hope it's blocked. You'll probably take the scores every time.
These are the types of conversations you have to have about bad football teams.
Yep. What's the worst you want?
Right.
Do you want the fumble and maybe a touchdown, or do you want a field goal or a field goal.
Okay, blame game. Who is most to blame for the lack of heart in the fourth quarter from the Denver Broncos?
Heart is such a tough thing for me. But, Ryan, it goes to something that Draymond Jones said, which was just so damning on this entire team. When asked about the struggles in the run defense, which, by the way, after the game, We've talked about Teddy, we've talked about Melvin, we've talked about the offensive struggles, we've touched on the defense a little bit. All the blame was being pointed at the defense. We know Vic Fangio, if he can take a shot at the offense and protect himself, he's not been afraid to do that in the past. No, he was pointing it on the defense, which shocked me. And then Draymond Jones had the quote of the night, and maybe the one that's going to be the most revealing if Vic Fangio gets fired sometime this season or after this season. When asked about what went wrong in run defense, Draymond said, "I'll call it a combination of us not executing and probably like coaching. Pretty much simple." Wow. Calling out the coaching midway through a season. Now, Mike Kliss after the game tweeted that that was Vic's message to the team in the locker room. You can make of that what you want, but I'll put that out there. But Draymond Jones exposed it at least, or he exposed that it was bad coaching as well. So to answer your question about going back to the heart, if a player is calling out a coach after a game, has he lost the locker room?
At least a little bit. And always use your critical thinking skills, guys, when these things happen. always got to read tweets with critical thinking skills.
We've had Ryan's eyes going back and forth this whole time.
Yeah, come on. I don't care if that was a message to the locker room. if a player, first of all, this isn't 8 Mile. You don't get to roast yourself before you get roasted and be protected. If a player is saying to the media that the coaching was a problem, they've got a big, big problem.
And you believe him.
And I don't know exactly what happened in the run defense because you would think, and honestly, I saw it a lot from the Broncos. Single high safety, man coverage, stop the run. And it's a dangerous game to play against Devontae Smith, and it burned them a couple times.
Yeah.
I cannot believe they didn't make the play on that first touchdown. And this is a recurring thing. Me saying, I can't believe they didn't make the play on that first touchdown. It happened in the Raiders game. It happened in the Steelers game. It happened in the Baltimore game. Yeah. It now happened in this game. That's turn your head around and make the play. I think it was it Pat Surtain?
It was.
So, he gets a free pass because he's a beast.
Wait, oh, you're putting that on Pat?
I'm just saying make the play.
Okay. Wow, okay. Well, I like hearing that because I said no blame to Pat at all. I just thought it was perfect coverage. But I guess you're right. It wasn't perfect coverage. He could have turned his head and swatted it. But, I mean, what a catch. What a throw.
Oh, it's a great, it was a dime. Another, by the way, Broncos got away with one at the end of the half. Absolute perfect dime onto the hands of Quez Watkins.
Just right through.
Right through his hands. I think he expected the ball to get tipped.
Yeah.
Shouldn't expect that with the Broncos secondary. Just expect that ball to hit you in the hands and be a touchdown. So, again, the run defense should have been fine because you were playing a lot of man coverage on the outside, and it still wasn't. You're getting gashed by Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard.
Yeah.
Dude hasn't beat anyone in years.
I mean, it didn't matter who was in the game, Ryan. They're running for 6.9 yards per carry with Jordan Howard. Scott's running for 7.4. You have Jalen Hurts running for 3.8, but you know what? They didn't give up on the run. Jalen Hurts didn't give up on the run. 53 rushing yards for him. You had Kenny Gainwell averaging 2.8 yards. You held Jalen Reagor to -8. But it doesn't matter because, I didn't know this number until right now. Do you know how many yards the Eagles rushed for. It's way worse than I would have thought.
180.
Yeah. That's what. No. That's what I would have thought being bad. No. That's what I would have guessed. Not very close.
What is it?
214 yards on the ground, 5.3 yards per attempt, and they ran it 40 times.
You got bullied.
Yep. By the Eagles, by the way.
They didn't even want to run the ball in the early season.
Exactly. They weren't a running team at all. And then, Ryan, they were the Broncos of last week in terms of bullying the team, the opposing team, on the road. And then at the same time having guys go down left and right, left. I think they lost, like, their entire offensive line in this game. Dickerson's going down. I think he had someone else go down. Maybe two other guys go down. And you know what? It didn't matter. They said, next guy up, we're still going to punch you in the face. And that's just what they did. All game long. I mean, this, as good as last week was, this was worse because it's the most recent one and it's going on your bye.
And it was a must-win game, in my opinion. If you won the game, you were sitting pretty
going into
your bye week.
And like we talked about, you had a little leeway. You could go 1-1 against the Chargers and the Chiefs to start, which Chargers at home, winnable game. Chiefs on the road, that's going to be tough. But you could go 1-1 in those games if you won today. Now, if you go 1-1, you're 6-6, and one of these other teams, either the Chiefs or the Raiders, is probably going to take off.
6-6 ain't going to get it done. You're going to be in last place in the division in a few minutes.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, last one. Who's most at fault for giving up 220 rushing yards?
Coaching.
Yeah, Draymond Jones said it.
Yeah. He said it, and Vic, I mean, what was even pointing the, like we said, he was pointing the finger back at his unit. That tells you all you need to know, Ryan. In the first half, the Eagles had over 250 yards of offense. Now, the Broncos did a good job keeping the game kind of maintained. I mean, they still gave up 20 points. Never mind. They didn't do a good job. That's terrible. They were on pace to give up over 500 yards of offense and 40 points at halftime.
Yeah.
And the offense was terrible, too. I mean, they had, at one point, Albert Okwuegbunam had more offensive yards, that 64-yard catch, than the Broncos had the rest of the team. They had 60. And then you had 10 points at halftime. Come on.
Give me a break. I might need a break to go eat a Hassel Cattle Company burger downstairs.
We got someone filling in for you on your break?
I'm just taking a solo. Yeah, you got any takes? I'm going to go eat a burger. I'm going to take a break. If you need a break and you want to have a Hassel Cattle Company burger, they will send them straight to your door. And it's not just the burgers. It's the steaks. It's all of their amazing different beef products. It's blue-collar Wagyu beef. Why is it called blue-collar Wagyu beef? Because every man or woman can afford this stuff. It's very affordable. And when you use the code DNVR15, you can save 15% off. Got a sweet holiday deal going on for you right now. This is the holiday deal because turkey's out, beef is in. No one will complain at your holiday dinner if you start serving up New York strips from Hassel Cattle Company instead of turkey. Everyone's going to praise you and say, what have we been doing for all these years? The Pilgrims had it all wrong. Anyways, Hassel Cattle Company, DNVR15. And, of course, if you go over $200 on your order, you're going to get free shipping. You want $200 worth of this stuff. It'll last you a while because it's cheap, and you're going to eat it all and love it.
Yes, you absolutely will. Ryan, over these past couple days, I've done something not advisable. I've chased at the end of two bad nights over at DraftKings Sportsbook. But you know what?
Been there,
done
that.
It worked both nights. I literally, Thursday night football was not working out for me. I chased at the end, ended up scratching. I was so happy about that. Last night, down big throughout the day. Some Pac-12 After Dark came out and helped me, unfortunately. I'm sorry. It came at the expense of your Buffs.
That's okay.
Ended up $3 up on the day. Was thrilled about being $3 up. And if you want to get in on the action, maybe you had a rough day betting on the Broncos, betting on the Chargers to win. You were right about that one, of course. What else happened today? So any other big surprises?
The Lions and Steelers tied.
What a game. But you could still get in tonight. You can get in on the Charger or on the Chiefs and Raiders game. And then, of course, you can get in on the Rams 49ers as well. You can do that over at DraftKings Sportsbook. And if you're a new user, get in right now, because if you bet $1 on any team to score in any NFL game over this next week, you'll get $100 in free bets, which, boy, that's such a great way to start off your account, using those $100 to turn into real money, which, boom, then you turn into a lot more. So get in. Download download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code DNVR when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if a team of your choice scores with that code DNVR. DraftKings is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Finally, if you guys want... If you feel like the Broncos in the fourth quarter and you just need some energy and some heart, you got to hit some Strava craft coffee. And if you use the code DNVR25 on your first purchase, you're going to save 25% off that first order. Then when you say, oh my God, I love this CBD infused coffee. It saves me from the coffee jitters. It helps with my knee pain, my elbow pain, my neck pain, whatever it may be. Then you're going to sign up for a Strava craft coffee subscription, which not only is going to save you 20% on every order thereafter, but you're not gonna have to put in your credit card info anymore. You're never gonna have to worry about that panic feeling when you wake up and realize you're out of coffee. So head up our friends over at Strava Craft Coffee and get that energy you need.
Absolutely. Ryan, should we hear from the people?
The people, I'm sure they've got some stuff to say.
Let's hop into the super chats.
All right, first one, a long one here.
Ooh,
from Easy80. What do you guys think of Teddy giving up on the play and giving up a TD? And do you think the coaches and players should address him about it? I'm personally disappointed. That is not a captain move. Continue being great, boys. From Alex in the Madden League.
Love you, Alex, and really appreciate the support. What do we hear that Bill Belichick did to every player, regardless of who it was? If you made a bad play, and doesn't matter if you're the 53rd guy, the 90th guy in training camp, or you were Tom Brady, he would call you out in front of everyone. This could be a moment for Vic Fangio to really set an example, and not just on Teddy, but for many plays throughout this game.
You think that's happening?
No, I don't. And Ryan, the next what this schedule looks like for the Broncos over the bye week tomorrow, they have virtual meetings because of COVID. They want to keep guys out of the locker or out of being in person. Tomorrow or Tuesday, it's a day off. And then Wednesday, Vic said they'll decide when they get there. I'm not sure if he means they may give them Wednesday off completely or if that means he's deciding whether to do virtual stuff or in person. And then the Broncos will have Thursday through Sunday off. But, man, if I'm Vic, I don't care if the guys are coming back on Wednesday or not. Tomorrow is not a fun day, even though it's virtual.
If I'm Vic, I might put together a highlight reel of all the bad tape everyone put out there and said, yeah. I want you guys to think about this when you're sitting on the beach in Cabo.
Yeah.
And ask yourself, is this the type of tape I want to put on as a professional National Football League player?
Yep.
Is this what I want to do?
Yep.
And the number one clip on that tape would be Teddy Bridgewater. Now, I want to say this, and I think it's really important to consider. Teddy Bridgewater might have been told going into this game, do not get hurt at all costs.
That's a really
did
good
he
point.
Run once in this game? I don't think he did. I don't think he crossed the line of scrimmage at any point.
No. In fact, that was a conversation that I had today was I thought Teddy was more mobile than we thought. In this game, it looked the complete opposite. So that's a really good point.
And he's not going to throw the coaches under the bus in that scenario.
Right.
But remember, Drew Lock, not out there today.
Yeah.
There is a very legitimate chance in my mind that they said, do not put yourself in any bad situations. And coaches do this.
Yeah.
Telling guys, hey, we cannot afford to have you hurt today. Maybe that's it. If that's the case, they put Teddy in a really bad position because no one's going to know about that ever. Yeah,
that's a great point. It's a great point. And boy, what would the Broncos have been with a third string quarterback and a backup offensive coordinator? That's probably what, if they did tell Teddy that message, that's what they were thinking when they told him that.
And two backup tackles.
Yikes. Yeah. I mean, Teddy's first drop back, Cam Fleming just got smoked off the edge. That set a pretty bad tone.
Third quarter just started. Nikola Jokic has 19 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists.
Insane. Absolutely insane.
Thank God.
Nuggets already have 72.
All right. What do we got next? From Jared Barton. What do we see?
Speaking of Nuggets.
Yeah. What do we see more of after the bye? Broncos wins or individuals holding the title of Broncos head coach? Definitely Broncos wins.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're guaranteed one.
Yep.
You should be guaranteed one against the Lions. And then you'll pick up another one. You will.
I agree. All right, next
At
one.
At least.
From Angel. Kenny Young is the defensive pulse. We need more players with that intensity.
Yeah, I loved Kenny Young getting in the backfield often. Now, he did have a few negative plays today, but I guess that was expected at some point. It just caught up to him on this third game. But, yeah, I love the way he plays. Man, almost got called for a brutal
He should have been called.
I think so, too.
Should have been called.
I think so, too. Got away with it. But at least he's playing with fire. Yeah. At least he's playing with fire.
Yeah, his first loss as a Bronco.
And second loss on the year for him.
And first loss this season for a Jerry Jeudy-laden Broncos
team.
Yeah,
exactly.
What did Jerry have, 6 catches?
Jerry, let me pull this up right here. I believe Jerry led the team in catches. He had, 6 catches on 9 targets, 48 yards, and those 6 catches did lead the team.
Yeah, I mean, they just kept running 5 wide hooks, and he was open on all of them.
Ryan, Cortland Sutton, I mean, he is either having a 100-yard game and exploding, or he is just non-existent.
Yeah.
2 catches, 29 yards. When the game mattered, he had 1 catch for, I believe, 22 or something. This conversation, and Tim Patrick, to be fair, not any more relevant. 3 catches for 14 yards. But typically, Tim's showing up more than that.
Who did anything in the receiving game other than Albert O and Jerry Jeudy?
Noah Fant. 5 catches for 59 yards.
Good for Noah.
Yeah.
He needed one of these games.
He did.
Yeah, I did see a play where he caught the ball and turned upfield, and I think he like turned 7 into 15, and I was like, yep. Let's go, Noah. Yep.
Isn't this kind of what we thought, though? A Teddy Bridgewater offense? Use the tight ends a ton and use Jerry Jeudy a ton?
Yeah. And check it down a ton, which weirdly we're not seeing a lot of running back catches. That was like a big thing, why they brought in Melvin Gordon. We're not seeing the running backs catch the ball almost at all in this offense.
Ryan, tonight they combined for 7 targets, Javonte and Melvin. 3 catches. Guess how many yards they combined for?
3 catches for negative yards.
Yep, negative 1 yard. You nailed it.
Yeah, really bad.
Just a thing you have to laugh about because it's so bad.
All right, what's next? From the homie, Brian. Teddy showed elite presence today. Madden chat reference, LOL. Anyhow, appreciate you guys for keeping our heads above water. Hashtag draft Malik Willis. Listen, I'm not against Malik Willis. I'm not really against Kenny Pickett. I'm not against Sam Howell. I'm not really against any of these guys yet. But not a single one has made me say, wow, that's a guy you got to have.
You better enjoy the 4th quarterback in this draft, because even where the Broncos are going to be trading up in the draft, you're going to land the 3rd or 4th guy.
Well, the first overall pick might be available.
Oh, boy.
Depending.
You better be in love. And just with your confidence, your lack of confidence in these quarterbacks, you would have to go from, what, Broncos finishing 16th in draft order this year to number 1? That's 3 first-round picks plus, probably.
I mean, this is how bad this quarterback class has been this year. The projected, if a lot of people had to guess at number 1 overall, they would have guessed Spencer Rattler. He was benched.
Yeah,
benched for being trash,
and then came in yesterday's game off the bench and was
still trash.
Yep.
So again, it's not that I don't like Kenny Pickett. It's not that I don't like Sam Howell. It's not that I don't like Desmond Ridder. It's not that I don't like Malik Willis. I just don't love anyone yet by any stretch of the mind.
Yeah, and the game that George Payton saw Malik Willis in person. Now it shouldn't mean everything, but he was going up against way better competition.
It was unfair.
But didn't look good.
No, he didn't look good. Then he saw Sam Howell and Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett looked great in the first half. He looked bad in the second half. Sam Howell looked terrible in the first half. He looked good in the second half. And then Kenny Pickett looked okay in overtime, and Sam Howell got literal buckets of water dumped on him, and it didn't matter. But no one came. Like, I just don't think as a GM you came away saying, that's the guy to save our franchise.
Yep, and Ryan, I think the nightmare scenario for a lot of Broncos fans right now is Vic Fangio and Teddy Bridgewater back as the quarterback head coach, and that is that's not a scenario that I can say won't happen.
Yeah, I mean,
no, if more of these happen, maybe it won't happen. But man, entering today, that honestly was the likely thing that was going to happen.
Right, and I said in our Broncos pick'em, I said, if they win today, they're pretty much guaranteed to be playing meaningful football in December.
Yep. And what did George Payton want?
Meaningful football in December.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I wrote.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, now there is a chance that those December games might not be so meaningful.
I had hope. I had hope for meaningful.
I had hope for meaningful very much so, and Not that much hope, though, because I still did bet heavily on the Eagles today. Now, I was trying to jinx them.
Wow.
But I also just thought, like, I still think I'm going to win this bet.
Yeah, credit to you. You, the jinx didn't work, but you picked the Eagles to win.
Yeah, I also had them scoring 30, and that seemed like a lot at the time.
Unfortunately, it wasn't a close game. It was not a close game.
No. Should have been a close game.
Yep.
If not for Melvin Gordon, I think it would have been a close game. All right, what's next? From Ivory Hotline, I love you, DNVR. You guys are the best. Love you, too.
We love you right back.
A lot of DNVR love today at the tailgate. Appreciate it. Like, it was probably our most, like, DNVR tailgate crew we've ever had, which was really great. So, shout out to everyone who came out there. The bar's packed full of Broncos fans right now. There's also Nuggets fans down there, too, of course, but it's, like, a great mix of both. So shout out to everyone who came and hang out.
And that's what's awesome. You're always going to have great people here, and you're always going to have the sports you want to watch.
Absolutely.
Always.
Next up, from Hoy 002, fire everyone, get a quarterback. I'm going to even super chat this to bolster its importance. Milehead Buckeye. Fire everyone, get a quarterback. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, we really appreciate the super chat. Hey, at least the Broncos didn't get shut out like Seattle and Russ today.
Did they really shut out?
It's the first time in Russ's career he's been shut out.
Yikes.
Yeah. Yikes.
What's next? From Seth Stewart. Love all my DNVR guys. Thank you for not quitting on this post-game pod like Teddy quit on us.
Ryan, I think we're entering the fourth quarter in this pod. Should we just drop out?
I mean, yeah, sure. it did take me a while to get here, so sorry. So apologies for the delay. Man, it is tough to get out of there.
Yep.
We like Federal, which is where we're parked right next to the tailgate.
Yeah.
And getting literally from the tailgate to Federal took 25 minutes.
I can't even imagine.
That's a stretch of 100 feet.
Half block? Yeah, exactly. 100 feet. Man, that is brutal.
Rough. All right. Next one's from Owen. WTF, does anyone on the coaching staff tell Teddy when does anyone on the coaching staff tell Teddy it's possible to pass beyond the sticks? And this is one that people get so mad about that I can't bring myself to get mad about. If it's when guys aren't open, the quarterback still has to throw the ball. They're going to throw it to the check down, which is left open by design by the defense. But if nothing else is open, now again, we'll probably be able to go and do the all 22 scouting and say, well, Jerry Jeudy was open.
Right.
But you'll probably be able to see that, like, he came open right as Teddy looked away from him. It's the number one thing that fans get mad about that I can't bring myself to be as mad about it.
Ryan, and really what it boils down to is if the Broncos convert third downs, people don't really remember that Tim Patrick last week caught the ball 3 yards behind the first down marker, but then turned upfield and shot like a gun. And that was just a great play. It was a good read by Teddy, you know, finding Tim who had 3 yards, and then Tim turned it up. But when you don't convert third downs, then you do look at this stuff, and I understand where you're coming from, Owen. Ryan, the Broncos were really good on third down last week, and they made the Cowboys terrible on third and fourth down. Cowboys is something like 2 of 14 on third and fourth down last week. You know what the Broncos were on third down this week? And we can even group fourth down in there. They went for it 13 times on third and fourth down this week. How many times did they convert those third and fourth downs?
Three.
One.
Oh, my God.
One. They were 1 for 11 on third down, 9% on defense. They were 0 for 2 on fourth down. That, you will lose every game when that happens. And also another big thing that we talked about last week, time of possession. Broncos dominated the Cowboys in time of possession. They didn't get dominated as poorly today as they did the Cowboys last week, but still, 35-25. And I mean, that's when you have to have a really good quarterback to overcome that.
I said on the tailgate, the way they win this game is to win first down. They didn't come close to winning first down. A lot of third and eights and a lot of third and twos for the Eagles.
Yep, exactly. I mean, that one play, Ryan, after the terrible touchdown that they gave up to Darius Slay, they come out and Teddy gets pressured, and Teddy, like, off his back foot, throws it side-armed to Javonte Williams, 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Javonte Williams makes this really difficult catch 4 yards behind the scrimmage, which he shouldn't have caught anyways.
Tipped up in the air.
Yeah, and then he gets blown up for a loss of 4, and then it's 2nd and 14. Good luck.
But these are things that I was sitting here less than 24 hours ago talking about the Buffs game. And little mistakes like that where it's just like, a well-aware team knows to just knock that ball down.
Right, right.
A well-aware team knows on fourth down in the red zone, you throw the ball at somebody.
Yeah, you give yourself a chance.
And for whatever reason, it's coaching to me. That's the reason. Your coaches should tell you about this situational awareness, and it's clearly not happening.
I can't defend the coaching at all because the players aren't defending the coaching. And let's say what Mike Kliss said is true and that Vic Fangio was the one to call out the coaching. The coaches can't even defend the coaching.
No. And Tom McMahon still has a job.
He does. He does.
Next super chat from Taylor. So bad today all around. Teddy not even attempting to make that tackle showed a lot. Man, you agree that's the number one thing perturbing Broncos country today?
Yeah, and the bummer for Teddy is he's so loved inside that Broncos locker room. But now this is what people are going to remember for the next 2 weeks, 100%. And if Teddy's playing the best ball of his career, the Broncos are getting the best quarterback play out of their quarterback since Peyton Manning 2014, the first half of 2014. And this is what people are going to remember. People are going to be calling for Drew Lock when he gets back in the building this week, if they come back in the building, or next week. And in reality, this is what people are going to remember until Teddy beats the Chargers, beats the Chiefs. But it's like going to take something monumental like that.
It will be the thing that people remember about the Teddy Bridgewater era.
Yep. Yep.
Because I don't have any faith in this going anywhere to a point where people will forget this. It's the Teddy Bridgewater era, not all by his fault, will end as a failure. And this will be the play that people point to when they talk about it.
Yep. It will be.
Just the way that Case Keenum missing up a wide open Demaryius Thomas down the sideline to beat the Chiefs is that one. This will be the one for Teddy.
Man, you know what sucks about this one, Ryan, is Case just made a bad play. It was a terrible throw.
Yep.
This one was a decision. And one that's going to be called a business decision.
Not called. It was a business decision.
Yes, 100%. 100%.
And I also think throwing it out of the back of the end zone was a business decision.
Man, I hope not. But if so, then that's really bad. That's really bad.
It is really bad. All right, next one. From Steve, Shermer's play calling was awful tonight. It's like he wasn't even there. We needed that. That was funny.
Yes, we did. Thank you, Steve.
And finally, from Matthew South, how much do we have to pay to have DNVR ask the Broncos? Is that type of business decision the face of the franchise makes? Well, no one thinks he's the face of the franchise.
Right. No.
George Payton threw that out there because he had to.
You have to have your quarterback in there.
But it's just –
it's Justin Simmons.
He was asked about it, right?
Yep.
And he said he was trying to force him inside.
Yeah, that's what Teddy said, and Vic didn't see the play, and I believe Vic on that. Now, he's going to see it, and he's going to be asked about it tomorrow, Matthew, so stay tuned to that. But I believe Vic that he just didn't see it today.
Vic will defend him.
What if Vic comes out and says what you said? We told Teddy, yes, I saw the replay, and we told Teddy before the game,
you can't
get hurt.
I would really appreciate that from Vic.
I think that would make a lot of Broncos fans feel better. And you know what? I hope Vic or Patrick or someone's watching and relays what you told him, Ryan.
Got you, Patrick.
Relays that to Vic. Because then who's the blame? Are we going to blame Vic for telling him that? No, we're going to say that's actually probably good coaching right there.
What's the worst thing that comes out of it? The Broncos didn't trust Brett Rippon. Of course they didn't. He's their third string quarterback.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's a great PR move right there.
Yeah,
Even if it's not the truth.
Finally, from Todd.
Oh, one coming in.
Rosenboom. Do you guys believe Peyton will make the meaningful offseason moves to make the Broncos competitive next year? His preseason comments about QBs have me concerned. I think we need to stop thinking about the Broncos and next year. If they draft a quarterback, it won't be next year. Look at the Bears. Look at the Jags. The Patriots, impressive so far. But most of these teams are not competitive in the first year that they have a rookie quarterback. Now, again, I don't know if I even endorse the Broncos getting a rookie quarterback at this point.
Yeah. It's maybe the worst thing about all of this.
Yeah, it really is the worst thing about all of this. But the only way for them to be competitive as recently as next year, to me, is by getting an Aaron Rodgers, by getting a Russ Wilson. And I don't even like talking about that because it feels like such a pipe dream.
Right, it does. And, man, I'll tell you what, the Packers did everything to back up Aaron Rodgers. I don't know why he would leave. They win again today. Heck, maybe Russ, though, wants out after this year, after they lose today and they have a terrible game. But you're right. It feels like such a pipe dream. The necessary moves, Ryan, I think something that scares Broncos fans a lot is George Payton said that he wants them to be competitive in November, December. That's a successful season. There's still a chance. They're competitive in November right now, so they've checked one of those boxes. There is a chance if they beat the Chargers or the Chiefs in these next 2 weeks, Ryan, they will be competitive in December. And then while Broncos fans think this season's a total failure already, George Payton could be sitting there and saying, 8-9, we were competitive, we're keeping Vic. And then also all the uncertainty at ownership. I mean, we need to take this game by game, not to be so cliche, but honestly, we as people at being in Broncos country need to take this month by month with just the changes that could happen.
Yeah, I mean, the benefit of the fact that the rest of the AFC West is pretty good is you might get another last place schedule next year, which is the only reason why you're 5-5 right now.
Right, and you had that easy part at the beginning of the season.
That's what I mean, because you got to play a bunch of crap teams because you got last place.
You think because Detroit didn't lose today that takes a little burden off that game and that Detroit won't be playing so feisty for a win? Or because they're still winless, they'll still be very feisty? I want Detroit to get a win before they play
the
Broncos.
They can't go 0-16 anymore. So
they can't. 0-17.
They're 0-16. They can't be the first ever 0-17 team.
They can't. They can't. Dan Campbell's got them there.
I think they'll be fine.
Did you see how that game ended, by the way?
No. I didn't see anything.
Oh, my goodness. Overtime. Steelers have the ball, 15 seconds left. They're in field goal range. They catch a 3-yard pass to just get 3 yards closer, and they fumble it with 15 seconds left in overtime.
Who's the culprit?
Number 88. I don't remember his name.
Who?
Melvin Gordon. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Yair with the brutal
kill. Yair with the dagger. One more here for Brandon Bowler. How many games has Melvin lost just because of fumbles? Need to feed 33. Eagles fans are annoying. Nice meeting you today, Ryan. Travel nurse guy. Great meeting you too, Brandon. And how many games? Two?
What happened last year? There was one, right?
One really bad one.
Oh, but didn't the Broncos still win? But he fumbled it like right at the goal line. But then the Broncos still held on. I don't remember. The Broncos also got lucky by the defense coming up big against Washington football team 2 weeks ago after Melvin Gordon fumbled. And then, of course, today the defense wasn't able to catch up.
Well, the defense was the offense, and they let the guy strut down the field like he was going for a Sunday job.
I mean, how disrespectful of Darius Slay to say that after the game. Disrespectful, too, of the Broncos and just their effort on that play, saying it was a bunch of fat guys. I mean, if anything,
wraps
up this
game. Where's your DK Metcalf?
Yeah, exactly. You had some fast guys on the field.
No one even. Again, I'll have to watch the replay. I'm watching this from the stands. Everything happened kind of in a flash. I don't remember anyone even within 30 yards of him trying.
No. He was just slaying right into the end zone.
Disgusting.
Yeah, it was. That's what this game was. It was disgusting. And Ryan, I hate that we have to. This is what we have the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, and again, that's what they have the next 2 weeks. They're going to hate it more than us. At least I hope.
I was going to say, I hope.
Yeah, I hope they hate that they have to watch the film from that game tomorrow and think about that. And again, I hope Vic Fangio goes ahead and shows them a highlight reel of all the weak-ass effort plays that they had in this game. It's embarrassing.
It is. It's very embarrassing. Was this pot embarrassing?
What?
Was this pot embarrassing?
No, I think we did a pretty good job.
What were you going to say, though? That's two?
That's two games this year where you've been embarrassed at home.
12,000 no-shows 2 weeks ago. Little better this week, 6,000 no-shows. After a bye week, it's going to be cold. That's after Thanksgiving, too, right? Some people traveling. Maybe instead of coming back Saturday night, they're going to be coming back Monday morning instead. Not going to want to make the game. It could be. It's going to be more than six. Is it more than 12?
Yeah.
That's when coaches get fired. That's when things happen.
When you get embarrassed at home and when you have less people coming to the game, that is how you get fired.
In December, when you're not hitting your general manager's expectations, when you lose to an AFC West opponent, It's lining up either for a disaster or a great redemption. And then the Broncos are right back in it at 6-5.
They only played one AFC West game the whole year.
One. They have five left.
And they got embarrassed at home.
Yes, they did. To the Raiders without a coach.
My God. One thing that's not embarrassing is MSU Denver Online. It's an incredible online education you can get. And it's the best place to go if you're looking to work a full-time job while getting an education online. They do an incredible job over there, and their students work twice as many hours as students attending any other college institution. So hit up msudenver.edu/online. Also, hit us with a thumbs up on YouTube on your way out. We always appreciate those. Disgusting effort from the Broncos today. Embarrassing result for the Broncos today. And I think it's a result that will lead to eventual consequences when all is said and done at the end of the season. A real opportunity that they let slip through their fingertips. And we're going to have to talk about it for a while. So, of course, you can join us tomorrow on the DNVR Broncos podcast. Shout out to Yahir behind the Mac over there. A shout out to Zach. Appreciate you as a co-host. Shout out to you. Everyone who came to the tailgate today.
Yeah.
Everyone down hanging out at the bar right now. Appreciate all of you. Appreciate everyone who tuned in, of course. And we'll catch you tomorrow on the DNVR Broncos podcast. Roll out the truck and took a country drive. Now understand that you need some time. I know some landmarks we used to hit. We're flying cotton.